The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. We've got so much going on. I don't know where to start, but why don't we start with finding out what's going on in Albin's neck of the woods. Albin, what's going on? What is with your background? Where are you?
Well, this is a different background. I thought I'd try something different this time. This is the COVID collection of curtains just out, not at Kohl's, but other places they have.
Yeah, you don't want to shop. We know we don't want people to shop at Kohl's because they have canceled Mike Lindell. And the same thing goes for Bed Bath & Beyond, HEB stores, and Wayfair. Until they repent and publicly retract what they have done or change what they've done, then we don't want people to shop there. I'm just saying that. Hey, I have rights as an American. Now, Albin, let me just ask you a couple of questions. What did you and Ann do this weekend?
Well, you know, it was kind of messy weather out there this weekend, and we really couldn't do too much. We actually put some skis on our bicycles and, you know, skied through Rockefeller Preserve as usual. And, you know, hunted down.
Do you have a cold? You sound different. Do you have a cold or something?
No, I have a warm because I'm really warm. And that's probably.
Oh, that was funny. That's classic. That goes in the books, man. You don't have a cold, you have a warm.
Just trying to keep up with you.
Can we make sure that somebody writes that down? Maybe James, write that down. I have a warm, because that'll blow people's minds. They didn't see that. Okay, Albin, listen. You sure you don't have a cold? You just don't sound like yourself. Your voice is like a tiny bit deeper.
Yeah, well, you know, I might, because my hearing, you keep calling me Albin. My hearing just seems to be kind of weird.
Is that right? Well, you know what? What is that background, though? Seriously, because it's really ugly and people watch this on video. A lot of people watch this on video. So is there a reason that you normally had Mike Lindell in the background? What happened?
Well, it's actually covering up my bookshelf. I had so many of the controversial authors like Eric Metaxas on the bookshelf. I didn't want to annoy people. So I kind of covered it up.
Right. So, right. Yeah. Well, listen, it's just fascinating. Fascinating. I think that, you know, before we continue this conversation, I think we should let the audience in on what's happening right now.
Oh, yeah. We have a really, really special guest today. I mean,
we have a special guest. You have a twin brother named Tony. Where does Tony live?
He lives in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Oh, he does live in Pittsburgh. So he never got far from home. What's wrong with him? I guess he had no ambition. What happened?
That's always been the problem with him. It's always been the problem.
Yeah, so got stuck in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, everybody
never
else
got, never got far from the nest. A bit of a mama's boy, isn't he? Yeah. I can ask him these questions directly when we get him on.
Yeah,
but is he a bit of a mama's boy? Just didn't want to leave the nest. What's going on?
I don't want to say disparaging remarks about him, you know, because. You know, we're really closely connected. And when he sees
how long have you guys been twins? I always forget this.
I don't know. I didn't bring my calculator to the show, but can I get back to you on that?
You know what I just realized?
What?
You're an imposter. You, sir, are no. I know Albin Sadar. Albin Sadar is a friend of mine. And you, sir, are no Albin Sadar. You're a fraud. You're a populist. I think you're Tony Sadar, and you've killed Albin. What have you done with Albin? Where is he? Where is Albin? What have you done with him?
I don't know. I get confused sometimes because he and I are so identical.
Albin, maybe if I shout out like Kazoo, like on the Flintstones when they went south and they brought in Kazoo. Albin, if you're there, Albin.
What's going on here?
Oh my gosh. I knew it. I thought your evil twin brother Tony had killed you and was trying to take your job because he's been jealous because you got out of Pittsburgh and the steel mills and stuff, and you made a name for yourself in entertainment, and that he just has been stalking you, and I thought he killed you and just tried to assume your identity. But that didn't happen. You're okay?
No, it's okay because I'm the handsome twin. So there's no way he can assume my.
Wait a minute. I was told that you didn't even have a face for radio, buddy. That's how unhandsome you are.
I love getting a little. You know what's even better than sibling rivalry is twin rivalry. What is the adjective for twin?
The adjective?
Yeah. In other words, sibling rivalry between siblings.
Well, dual rival. I don't know.
No. You guys don't even know. You're twins. You've been twins most of your life. Yeah, and you don't even know the adjective.
We'd say you were seeing in stereo. That's all we would say.
Listen, Tony, I'm so glad. I really was afraid that you had killed Albin because I've wanted to kill him a couple of times, and I'm not even his twin. And I think that the rivalry between the two of you, I just thought it drove you over the edge. You know, now would be the time. Finally, now that I know you're not Albin, to introduce you to my audience. Ladies and gentlemen, Albin's twin brother, Tony Sadar, is on the program as my actual guest. Tony, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much, Eric.
Listen, I want to apologize for telling my audience you're a murderer. You know, I say a lot of things sometimes and I regret them.
I thought you were reading from my resume. Okay, I'm sorry. I told you to leave that part out.
Can I jump in here real quick? How come no one's apologized to me? I'm sitting here.
Exactly. No, because Albin, because you're untouched. You're sitting there just as I remember you before you were almost murdered by Tony. Now, Tony, your full name is Anthony, and yet you choose to go by Tony. What's up with that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I have no idea. Well, you know, the joke, my twin brother and I, well, we didn't come directly, you know, inadvertently from Slovenia. And when they put my grandparents on the boat from Slovenia, they wrote on their head to New York, T-O-N-Y. So that became kind of a family name.
You know what's really horrifying? You know what's really sick is like that is such an Albin joke. Like if anybody needed proof that you're genetically identical, you have just proved it. That's just an Albin type joke. That's not a compliment, by the way. I'm just being honest. But wait a second. So you guys have been twins for a lot of your lives. And at what point were you conscious that one of you was redundant?
Well, I think it was when we were 10 years old and we took this photo right here. See, that's the photo of Anthony and I at 10 years old right there.
That is so cute. I could shriek.
Yeah, I can even see it on radio. That's so cute. We look different in that photo, really.
You look different. Actually, you do look different in that photo. Whereas right now, you just look so similar that you're freaking out America.
Yeah, just your job. We're not wearing the hats. That's the thing.
Well, that's one thing. But when my twin brother noticed that I had a cleft chin and he did not, he had surgically put a cleft in his chin. So now
the way you speak, you say he did not. That's the way Albin talks. And I've got some friends from Pittsburgh. Who also talk that way.
They say, I did not.
I did not. And I said, what is that? That's a Pittsburgh accent. Yeah. Well, listen, this has been fascinating. Finally realizing that Albin was not murdered by his evil twin brother. You had me going there for a second because who wouldn't want his life. You know what I'm saying? I get it. It's made you bitter. You've thought about killing him, but you're a Christian. You know killing technically is wrong. And so you manage to overcome the desire to do that. And I managed to overcome that desire practically every day. It's only by God's grace and the power of the Holy Spirit that that there's not some, you know, some dead Albans around here at some point.
But let me write that down.
I wanted to end on a positive note, and I failed. When we come back, folks, I'm going to be talking to Albin's twin brother about things other than the fact that he's Albin's twin brother. And you'll see there are things. We'll be right back. Let there be no doubt, big tech and the far left have joined forces to purge America of conservative views. But even if you keep your accounts, you don't have to give big tech websites access to your data. That's why I choose to protect my online activity by using ExpressVPN. Ever wondered how free-to-access social media companies make all their money? Well, by tracking your searches, video history, and everything you click on, and then selling your valuable data. When you use ExpressVPN, you anonymize much of your online presence by hiding your IP address. That makes your activity more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. What's more, ExpressVPN encrypts 100% of your data to protect you from eavesdroppers on your network. And the ExpressVPN app couldn't be easier to use. You just tap one button on your phone or computer and you're protected. Take back your online privacy with the VPN I trust at expressvpn.com/Metaxas. By visiting my link, you'll get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN service for free on a one-year package. Again, that's expressvpn.com/Metaxas, expressvpn.com/Metaxas, express.com/Metaxas to protect your data today. Hey, folks, I've got to tell you a secret about Relief Factor that the father-son owners, Pete and Seth Talbot, have never made a big deal about, but I think it is a big deal. I really do. They sell the three-week quick start pack for just $19.95 to anyone struggling from pain like neck, shoulder, back, hip, or knee pain, $19.95, about a dollar a day. But what they haven't broadcasted much is that every time they sell a three-week quick start, they lose money. In fact, they don't even break even until about 4 to 5 months after if you keep ordering it. Friends, that's huge. People don't keep ordering Relief Factor month after month if it doesn't work. So yes, Pete and Seth are literally on a mission to help as many people as possible deal with their pain. They really do put their money where their mouths are. So if you're in pain from exercise or even just getting older, order the three-week quick start for $19.95. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. I use it. It works. Investors seeking steady cash flow, ready to diversify? NRIA has grown to be one of the nation's leading specialists and offers 10% annualized monthly payouts with bonuses targeted at 18 to 21%. That's right. You could receive steady 10% return monthly payments with bonuses. As their slogan says, they specialize in realty investing done right. You can even use your 401k or IRA to invest. NRIA's 15-year track record and $1.2 billion in new construction development backs you. Learn how you can invest in this hard asset real estate cash flow fund today and receive 10% annualized monthly payouts with bonuses. This is something savvy investors should research and consider. Call now 800-700-5483. That's 800-700-5483 or visit NRIA.net.
An offer to buy or sell any security is only made by our private placement memorandum. Read it first. See us at NRIA.net.
Folks, welcome back. I'm still reeling from the previous segment in which I realized that the man to whom I was talking was not the man to whom I thought I was talking. Albin Sadar, my host, has a twin brother, and his twin brother has been in Albin's shadow. Who wouldn't be? his whole life, and it's made him bitter. And I wanted to get him on this program to talk about what it's like to be Albin's twin brother. Tony Sadar, welcome back.
Well, thank you, Eric. It's really good to be back, even though, you know, your producer kept me off the show for so long.
You know, like I noticed that. Albin, look, just between us, I mean, we're all Christians and we can just be honest. Albin doesn't like you. He knows that you're gunning for his head, that your whole life you've wanted to be Albin. And who wouldn't, as I said, even not as his twin brother? You know, anytime you're around him and Anne, whatever, you just think like, how did he get this beautiful chick and this perfect life? And you kind of, you know, you kind of get angry and you want to take him out. And then I think to be his twin brother, that would just be magnified 1,000 times. So thank you for coming on the program. He has tried to keep you off the program. And listen, you've got a real job. You're not some like radio sidekick. Like you're the guy, you stayed home like Jimmy Stewart in It's a Wonderful Life. And you said, I'm going to do my duty. I'm not going to fly with the Eagles like Albin because he's out of his head. I'm going to stay home and be the good son, the good twin. And look what you got for it. You're still in Pittsburgh. It's just not right, yes. I tell you.
Yes, I am. I stuck to my knitting in Pittsburgh, as they say.
But Tony, what is your job? I mean, Albin, I don't know. I don't know what it is that he does, but look, we love him. I love him like a twin brother. But you have a job. What do you do? What do you do?
Well, actually, I just retired after working for 43 years in the environmental field.
You just retired. You know what? I feel so much better. I was going to fire Albin this week, and now I feel like I can do it, and he's not going to get so upset.
When I was asked to come on the show, I thought it was for an audition for one of your current producers who just wasn't making it.
Hired. You're hired. You only have to be 1% better than Albin, and you shot way past that. Let me ask you, Tony, what is your job? I mean, I know everything about Albin. What is your job? You look and sound like him. You're practically redundant. Justify yourself. Why are you on this planet sucking up oxygen? Okay.
Again, I've worked for over 40 years in the environmental field in air quality primarily.
Wait, now, slow down. 40 years in the environmental field on air quality.
Right.
Okay. How did you get into that? Did you go to college?
What's college? Yes. Actually, I went to Penn State. Got my BS degree in meteorology from Penn State.
Meteorology. Were you ever a meteorologist, meaning a weatherman on TV?
Well, I did a short stint and had an opportunity, believe it or not. I had an opportunity, a very good opportunity, to be the weekend weatherman on WNBC New York City. I don't know.
Did Albin screw that one up for you too? Did Albin screw that one up for you too?
I'm not.
Because you know what he does? You might not know this, and I think it's about time, since you're going into retirement. It's about time you knew that, because Albin told me this one night. We'd had a couple of beers, and I said, Albin, you need to tell your brother that you've been doing this all these years. But evidently, he's been screwing your life up, pretending to be you and, groping and like just doing stuff that even the real Albin wouldn't do and you wouldn't do, but he's been impersonating you just to wreck your life, just to play with your head. Now's the time that I brought this out.
Wow. That explains something then, because
you had that weatherman gig that was sewn up until Albin punched Bryant Gumbel. And once you punch Brian, man, you're not going to have much of a job at NBC.
Well, that's the weird thing. I heard that I didn't get the job, but then I looked a few weekends later and there was a guy that looked just like me doing it, punching out Brian Gumbel. So I don't.
Right. Brian Gumbel was probably with CBS, right? I don't remember. And I don't care. Here's the issue.
From NBC to CBS, I guess.
Here's the issue. You are a meteorologist, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So you got a degree. Why did you get a degree in meteorology? And I ask that not merely out of curiosity, but just out of fascination. Why would anybody go into meteorology? Like what were you thinking?
Right. Why not? Well, I got interested in meteorology, believe it or not, in eighth grade. And I just made my own weather instruments and such. And ever since eighth grade, I thought
everybody got interested in meteorology in eighth grade. But the fascinating thing is everybody lost interest in meteorology at the end of eighth grade, except you. So what happened that made you, you know, blow your whole life on this meteorology thing? I mean, I'm telling you right now, that was a mistake, but go ahead.
Well, that's probably it. I remained nerdy after eighth grade and, you know, and had this vision of, you know, continuing type weather observations literally every day. I built my own little weather shelter for, you know, to take weather observations.
I'm not kidding, Tony. I'm not kidding. This sounds exactly like something Albin would do. And yet he didn't. You did.
Right. Well, Albin and I were always in competition on such things. Well, not really on that science. He and I were always inventing things. And at some point, you know, we build things. And, you know, I built weather shelters, not just there, but at other places. Like at school, I built a weather shelter. But he and I would construct things an awful lot. He just didn't have the interest in science that I had. And
would you just say that he doesn't have the intellectual chops? Would you be willing to say that?
No comment.
But I mean, it's interesting that he chose to go Hollywood and you chose to have a real job that could help people. That's interesting. What does that say about Albin?
Well,
yeah, but can I just jump in and say top of the world, Ma, top of the world. I'm working with Eric Metaxas, top of the world.
That's it. It says it all, really.
It's so sick. Did anybody get that movie reference? Like, I don't think there are any young people out there that get that movie.
What movie was that?
James Cagney, Top of the World, Ma. All right, listen. That's a brutal movie. I don't like that movie. What's the title of it?
All I can say is I could have been a contender. That's all I could have said.
That's 20 years later. This was like literally 1931 or 32. Ooh. Top of the World, Ma. Oh, it was his big breakout movie, but it's really brutal. Anyway.
White Heat. The name of the movie was White Heat.
There you go. How could we forget White Heat? Okay. So Albin, yeah, he chose to go Hollywood with the feather boas and the whole Liberace thing. Yeah. You said, no, I'm going to get a real job, respectable. I'm going to do my homework. I'm not going to play in the sandbox of Broadway and New York and all that stuff, hanging out at Toot Shores. I'm going to have a real job. So you go into meteorology.
Right.
Look where it gets you. You're sitting in front of a sheet.
Not even a clean one.
But there are clouds on that sheet. I think there are some clouds on there.
By the way, if you're going to buy sheets, use the code Eric at mypillow.com.
Okay.
You know, this is a perfect opportunity for us to talk about Giza Dream Sheets. Oh, my goodness. The thread count on them, it's approaching infinity, asymptotically, of course. You can never get to infinity, but it's getting there. That's the thread count on the Giza sheets, mypillow.com. Use the code Eric. And now back to our regular programming with Tony and Albin Sadar, the brothers Sadar.
The brothers
Grimm. Have you ever been referred to as the brothers Sadar?
The brothers Grimm, I think, is
we
the
used
other.
To actually, Albin and I did what we called the Sadar Brothers High Rise Show when we were in high school. And we did a variety show for an old people's high rise where my grandmother had lived. And we would just get down. I'd play some piano. He'd do some magic.
It's what killed her eventually.
This is fascinating and sad.
It was called the Sadar Brothers High Rise Show after the Tom and Dickie Smothers kind of show.
That is so cute.
Yeah, it was called.
That the really, Sadar you guys Brothers are High so cute show. Together. Why did you ever separate? Were you ever Siamese twins? Or let me ask you this: were you ever tempted to be Siamese twins?
No, I don't think we'd want to go that far.
You never had that temptation to be conjoined?
No. When I was in college, the first little TV series I wrote was called Worlds Apart, about Siamese twin brothers involved in murder, and one of them commits the murder, and that in all seriousness.
That's the sickest thing. Can we even air this? What did you just say? Is that true? Please say that again.
Yeah, when I was a freshman in college at Clarion State, it's now Clarion University, but I did a TV series called Worlds Apart, where my twin brother and I were Siamese twin brothers, and we were involved in a murder plot, and he committed the murder. He was the murderer, even though we were Siamese twins, and I didn't know anything about it. It's very weird.
But you mean Tony was not involved in this? He did not go to Clarion?
No, but he came here in the summer. Yeah, he went for a couple years.
We're going to have to go to a break because I got to go soak my head in some cold water. I'll be right back.
The band of angels are coming after me, coming for to carry me home. Swing low.
Let there be no doubt, big tech and the far left have joined forces to purge America of conservative views. But even if you keep your accounts, you don't have to give big tech websites access to your data. That's why I choose to protect my online activity by using ExpressVPN. Ever wondered how free-to-access social media companies make all their money? Well, by tracking your searches, video history, and everything you click on, and then selling your valuable data. When you use ExpressVPN, you anonymize much of your online presence by hiding your IP address. That makes your activity more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. What's more, ExpressVPN encrypts 100% of your data to protect you from eavesdroppers on your network. And the ExpressVPN app couldn't be easier to use. You just tap one button on your phone or computer and you're protected. Take back your online privacy with the VPN I trust at expressvpn.com/Metaxas. By visiting my link, you'll get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN service for free on a 1-year package. Again, that's expressvpn.com/Metaxas, expressvpn.com/Metaxas, express.com/Metaxas to protect your data today.
Hey, folks, I've got to tell you a secret about Relief Factor that the father-son owners, Pete and Seth Talbot, have never made a big deal about, but I think it is a big deal. I really do. They sell the 3-week quick start pack for just $19.95 to anyone struggling from pain like neck, shoulder, back, hip, or knee pain, $19.95, about a dollar a day. But what they haven't broadcasted much is that every time they sell a 3-week quick start, they lose money. In fact, they don't even break even until about 4 to 5 months after if you keep ordering it. Friends, that's huge. People don't keep ordering Relief Factor month after month if it doesn't work. So yes, Pete and Seth are literally on a mission to help as many people as possible deal with their pain. They really do put their money where their mouths are. So if you're in pain from exercise or even just getting older, order the 3-week quick start for $19.95. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. I use it. It works.
Investors seeking steady cash flow, ready to diversify? NRIA has grown to be one of the nation's leading specialists and offers 10% annualized monthly payouts with bonuses targeted at 18 to 21%. That's right. You could receive steady 10% return monthly payments with bonuses. As their slogan says, they specialize in realty investing done right. You can even use your 401k or IRA to invest. NRIA's 15-year track record and $1.2 billion in new construction development backs you. Learn how you can invest in this hard asset real estate cash flow fund today and receive 10% annualized monthly payouts with bonuses. This is something savvy investors should research and consider. Call now 800-700-5483. That's 800-700-5483 or visit NRIA.net.
An offer to buy or sell any security is only made by our private placement memorandum. Read it first. See us at NRIA.net.
Folks, this is a really strange program. If you have children, they're going to be scarred by this. I'm just telling you right now. You need to get them in therapy early, and maybe some soaking prayer with a team that really understands the spirit realm. I'm talking to Albin Sadar. He's the guy that produces this program. He's on all the time, but evidently he has a twin brother, just one that we know of. And we're talking to that guy. His name is Anthony or Tony Sadar. Tony Sadar, I got to ask you, because, you know, I've known Albin for a long time. Your parents named Albin. Mm-hmm. So they gave him this distinctive, almost comical name. You were just named Anthony, just like every other jerk named Anthony. And then you, I suspect, to get back at your parents, you said, yeah, you can name me Anthony, but I'm going to call myself Tony. Like, I'm going to be the hip, because you wanted to be more like Albin. You wanted to be more like Albin slash Elvis. And you said, I'm going to call myself Tony, and parents, there's nothing you can do about it. You were defiant, weren't you?
Well, not really, because my dad was named Anthony. My great grandfather was grandfather was named Anton, right? Anton.
Yeah.
Yeah, just so you know, exactly, because they were from, our grandparents were, all four of the grandparents were from Slovenia, okay, and my mother's name was Albina, so I got the name Albin, and of course, my twin brother's named after my dad, who was also Tony.
Yeah.
And now, and why were you named after the father? Were you born first, Tony?
No, this is the thing. Well, there's been some controversy about which one of us was born first, but we're establishing that Albin was really born first. But my dad was really.
Wait a minute. Albin was born first, and they named you after your father. That is the ultimate slap in the face, Albin. No, I cannot believe
my dad
to curse you that way.
No, my dad was such a gentleman that he deferred to my mother's name first.
Yeah. Seriously. That was basically it. My dad was like this. He's like I tell people, the sensitive male you've heard so much about. He was it.
Yeah.
My dad was.
It didn't rub off on us, but he was the original sensitive man.
Yeah.
But Albin is the masculinized version of a tremendously feminine name, Albina.
Yeah.
And well, you've been able to pull it off. You've been able to
pull
it off.
Look at this, man.
But Tony, Tony gets the father's name. Man, there's just a lot of family drama going on here, right. And it's hard to unpack it in a short. Shallow.
Right. Actually, as we were growing up, I was always called Anthony. And so when people call me Anthony, even today, it's weird because I was only called Anthony by my family members. Only after my dad passed away in kind of professional life, I basically became Tony. But when people call me Anthony, it's weird to me because only my family, like Albin or my sisters or younger brother, would call
me. It's even weirder to me when they call me Anthony. It's like,
if anybody calls me Anthony, I actually, it's never happened. Thank God. Listen, I'd like to talk to you, Tony, Anthony, whoever you are, Albin's twin brother. I'd like to talk to you about, evidently you've written a book and I've got some information on the book. And Albin said, listen, my brother needs a break. He's so down. He's about to retire and cash it all in. Can you help him out? And I said, Albin, no, to be blunt, I don't care if he's your twin brother. We have a show to produce. And Albin said, but I'm the producer. I said, okay. And he says, and so can't we have my brother on? And anyway, he showed me your resume and he said, you've got this book. Now the book is titled, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this.
Can I just say it? It's a murder mystery called Environmental Risk Communication.
And don't forget the subtitle, Principles and Practices for Industry. That hooks you right in.
Right on.
Environmental Risk Communication.
Right.
Principles and Practices for Industry. And Tony, Anthony J. Sadar, you co-wrote it with Susan Zumo.
No,
Forney.
Susan Zumo Forney.
Right. And I thought Albin Sadar was a funny name. So this is just a book. Who wouldn't want a copy of Environmental Risk Communication, Principles and Practices for Industry.
Right.
That's why. So once I realized that you'd written this book, Environmental Risk Communication, Principles and Practices for Industry, I thought, you know, Albin, why didn't you tell me that? Because obviously, who's not interested in that?
Yeah. And on Amazon, it's number one in the second edition category.
It is the second edition, right, of a book I wrote 20 years ago, because even though my background's in meteorology and the primary author now, Susan Zumo Forney, her background's in science, both of us from Penn State. We didn't come from a communication background. What we found is when we're dealing with our professions and communicating some technical, but also some touchy subject matter to the general public, it became very difficult to communicate complex issues, scientific issues and such, to a public. Sometimes, and this is why I got into it, I was at meetings where people would literally scream at us about being concerned about emissions or cleanup operations at a variety of sites.
And they would literally scream at you.
Yeah, and chant. There was, in fact, one of the meetings
they
I mentioned.
Chant.
Chant?
Chant. Oh, yeah.
Well, one of the chants I mentioned, and it's repeated in the book, One of the chants went on for 45 minutes. I kid you not. We were sitting up there, a group of us.
The chant went on for over 45 minutes.
Well, they alternated between chanting and screaming and yelling.
The normal chants barely ever hit the 40-minute mark. So the fact that they took it over. So they chanted. We're going to have to go to a break because your twin brother is telling me, get this guy out of here. We don't want to lose our audience. So we're going to be right back with Alvin, and we'll see if we keep Tony. Don't go away.
Let there be no doubt, big tech and the far left have joined forces to purge America of conservative views. But even if you keep your accounts, you don't have to give big tech websites access to your data. That's why I choose to protect my online activity by using ExpressVPN. Ever wondered how free-to-access social media companies make all their money? Well, by tracking your searches, video history, and everything you click on, and then selling your valuable data. When you use ExpressVPN, you anonymize much of your online presence by hiding your IP address. That makes your activity more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. What's more, ExpressVPN encrypts 100% of your data to protect you from eavesdroppers on your network. And the ExpressVPN app couldn't be easier to use. You just tap one button on your phone or computer and you're protected. Take back your online privacy with the VPN I trust at expressvpn.com/Metaxas. By visiting my link, you'll get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN service for free on a 1-year package. Again, that's expressvpn.com/Metaxas, expressvpn.com/Metaxas, express.com/Metaxas to protect your data today.
Hey, folks, I've got to tell you a secret about Relief Factor that the father-son owners, Pete and Seth Talbot, have never made a big deal about, but I think it is a big deal. I really do. They sell the 3-week quick start pack for just $19.95 to anyone struggling from pain like neck, shoulder, back, hip, or knee pain, $19.95, about a dollar a day. But what they haven't broadcasted much is that every time they sell a 3-week quick start, they lose money. In fact, they don't even break even until about 4 to 5 months after if you keep ordering it. Friends, that's huge. People don't keep ordering Relief Factor month after month if it doesn't work. So yes, Pete and Seth are literally on a mission to help as many people as possible deal with their pain. They really do put their money where their mouths are. So if you're in pain from exercise or even just getting older, order the 3-week quick start for $19.95. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. I use it. It works.
Investors seeking steady cash flow, ready to diversify? NRIA has grown to be one of the nation's leading specialists and offers 10% annualized monthly payouts with bonuses targeted at 18 to 21%. That's right. You could receive steady 10% return monthly payments with bonuses. As their slogan says, they specialize in realty investing done right. You can even use your 401k or IRA to invest. NRIA's 15-year track record and $1.2 billion in new construction development backs you. Learn how you can invest in this hard asset real estate cash flow fund today and receive 10% annualized monthly payouts with bonuses. This is something savvy investors should research and consider. Call now 800-700-5483. That's 800-700-5483 or visit NRIA.net.
An offer to buy or sell any security is only made by our private placement memorandum. Read it first. See us at NRIA.net.
Folks, I don't know who I am anymore. I don't know if I'm me or you're me or Alvin is him or me or if
I'm
his
me.
Twin brother is him or what's going on. Tony Sadar is my guest. Alvin Sadar is my producer. I, as far as I know, am Eric Metaxas. I'm twinless and I can feel it's like having a phantom twin. I can feel the twinge of the twin that should be there. But Alvin, you and your brother, you were successfully separated in the womb, I guess, or even at conception. And so now you are, at least in your own minds, you're fully formed human beings separated.
Yeah, somewhat. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
It's just beautiful that you could each stand on your own and just have, you know, just really be your own man or right. man
even
or,
in,
or whatever.
Even in separate cities. We're just yeah. in separate cities, which is really
By the way, you know what that chant was? Bring back the McRib. Bring back the McRib.
Yeah.
Okay, now listen, you may mock your meteorologist brother,
yeah.
but I'm here to do a serious, hard-hitting journalistic interview, okay? This is not a time for jokes. We're okay. talking about meteorology. We're talking about air emissions. So, right. Tony,
yes.
What is it that you communicate? What's the title of the book again?
It's Environmental Risk Communication, Principles and Practices for Industry. Susan Zumo Forney.
And this is a real book. Like, this is not a fake book. You're just trying to play with our heads.
No. This is a real book.
It's been optioned to be a musical on Broadway once they open the theaters again. So,
environmental risk management?
Environmental risk communication. Because the challenge, again, especially with environmental issues, and my specialty is in air quality issues, dealing with the general public and understanding their real concerns, it requires some finesse and understanding from the industrial point of view or business point of view. You know, there's risk communication efforts for business and all kinds of other
things. I'm so tuned out right now. What did you say?
What's that? Did you wink eye?
Let me just say, so environmental risk communication, who would be interested in this book that's listening, if there's anybody still listening?
Oh, brother. Well, again, folks that operate large industries, for instance, chemical industries.
And that's a lot. That's a lot of our listeners. So keep going.
Well, waste hauling industries.
Waste hauling industries. Okay.
Okay. But any business that deals with anything that emits pollutants to the environment, for instance, and has to go into a public meeting, like regulatory, a lot of regulations in air quality, water quality and such require public meetings. And we deal with how to address those public meetings successfully.
Okay, so we're finally getting serious. Yeah. You've been doing this for years. I'm gonna stop joking around any second. And you are trying to help people communicate
right.
about environmental risks.
Right.
So, but
right.
what side of this are you on? In other words, I'm not really clear. Are you...
Well, we work with a lot of industries that have to take their industrial operation explanations, like how, you know, with the chemistry or waste handling, some of the bigger industries that are currently going to see probably more air quality regulations. And because I came from a regulatory background and I just retired from there, we talk about how to address regulatory issues, which are, again, we expect to be increasing, and public meetings where you have to talk about, you know, the impact of your emissions, the malodors, the stinky odors that may be coming out of your plant. And we've the primary author, Susan Zumo Forney, and I have been at those kind of meetings where people literally scream at you and chant at you.
But wait, isn't this kind of like if you drive on the West Side Highway and you're around 125th Street? Like a number of years ago, they built a gigantic waste treatment facility on the Hudson River.
Right.
And they knew that it would smell up yeah. like the neighborhood.
Right. Right.
And even though they've got this really, really high stack. And so they built this unbelievable park above it as kind of like a bribe for the people. It's like, okay, we'll put this waste treatment thing here, but we're going to build you this great park. Right. But no kidding. The smell from that place is, you know, it's noticeable. Is that what we're dealing with? Like, not in my backyard. People say, I don't want you to build that.
Yes. Yes. And the thing is, you know, those issues are real and people have real concerns. So we talk about how to eliminate some of those serious issues. Like, I evaluated one of the most famous waste treatment facilities. It was on 60 Minutes and all the rest. And it was in Ohio. It still is. But I had done the exact direct evaluation of the plan. Then we went to public meetings to address people's concerns about it.
And so you were one of the people communicating with the angry mobs that wanted yeah. your head, basically.
Right. Right. And so we go through that, and you know, a lot of this boils down to the your personality, the people who are standing in front of, and understandably, in many cases, people's concerns are real, and how to address those, in some cases, how to mitigate the issues and problems, but how to address seriously people's concerns, and with your own integrity and your own authenticity and certainly humility.
You have to have integrity.
Yes. And authenticity too. You have to be a real person. Sometimes
I've always said if you can fake authenticity, you've got it made.
That's good. I should write that in the book for the third edition. Okay. Thank you.
So people look at you and they kind of think, well, listen, you and Albin both have you're calming. I think that's why women are so attracted to you, because they want a strong, calming figure.
Women are attracted to us?
Ooh. Yes, because you're so calming, to the point of putting people to sleep almost, in a good way.
Okay,
people are very agitated.
I'm going to write that down.
Human Xanax. Like you show up and it's like everything's going to be okay because Albin/Tony is here. And so when you stand up in front of a crowd, Tony, isn't that part of it, that they can feel that this guy is not the enemy, that he's on our side, he's trying to help us, he's not lying to us just to make money for this corporation?
Well, that's a big part of it, because oftentimes companies will hire a PR firm, a public relations firm, and that's not really what you need in some of these issues. You need to train your own people, your own like plant managers. Like it's been said, it's easier to train a chemical engineer to be a communicator than it is to train a communicator to be a chemical engineer. And so
that was good. Okay, we're going to be right back with the Sadar brothers, the twin brothers, real twin brothers. Never had that before. We'll be right back. This is a serious program. We're talking about environmental issues with Albin's twin brother, Tony Sadar, or Anthony J. Sadar, to use his book name. So Anthony J. Sadar, you just said that it's easier to train a chemical engineer to communicate well than it is to train a communicator to be a chemical engineer.
Right. Is that true? Yes, and I think that's the key in what our approach is, because as I said, both the primary author on the second edition, Susan Zumo-Forney, and I, we both come from a technical background, and we kind of learned the communication aspects from a school of hard knocks, as I mentioned before. We had some really, contentious public meetings. And so we approach the communication issue from training of people that are in the industry, like plant managers and such, who communicate their industry and the concerns that the industry has to the public in public meetings and in written communication.
Did anybody ever try to take a swing at you, Tony?
No, actually not. No. We do get some very nice comments from people. And after contentious public meetings, I'll never forget the time that a young mother and her brought what was in the meeting with her daughter. And she looked at me as she was leaving the meeting, just looked at me and just said, thank you. Because I had explained concerns about the particular industry in a way she could understand and calmed her fears about it.
If you can fool an angry young mother, you're going to earn some serious coin in any industry, because that's some acting chops that Albin doesn't even have.
Yeah, and the thing is, a lot of people at the meeting were just there that were activists, and people want to hear what the real issues are. We try to get to that.
You know, we've had so much fun, or at least I have, at the expense of my friends Albin and my new friend Tony, that we're going to have you back to really talk about this, because we just had to get the goofy stuff out of the way. We'll never joke again.
Yeah,
I'm wondering. Promise.
I'm wondering if you lost two friends today. I don't know.
You know what? I was thinking the same thing. But you guys, I think of you as really one guy. One of you is redundant. You're genetically similar. You talk the same. You joke the same. And so, which one? If you guys had to choose, seriously, which one of you is the backup?
Oh, that's a good one. Because if I say me, then I lose my job to my twin brother.
Right, right. That was a test. So you didn't fail. So another day of employment. Tony, look, you've been a great sport, and Albin promised me you wouldn't be. The stuff that he said about you, very mean, very mean. You guys got to work that out amongst yourselves. But the issue is that we want to have you back. Once I get over the fact that you look and sound and joke exactly like Albin, I will get over that. Then we'll be able to have a serious conversation about your book. And the title of the book is Environmental Risk Communication. And what's the subtitle?
Principles and Practices for Industry.
And what's the name of your co-author?
Susan Zumo Forney.
Susan Zumo Forney?
Yes.
That sounds like we got to bleep that out. We'll say it again.
Susan Zumo, Z-U-M-M-O, Forney.
Now, does she also have a twin or no?
No, I don't think so. No, she doesn't. She does not.
And yet you chose to co-write the book with her. That almost seems like a way of getting back in Albin. You choose a woman without a twin.
Yeah.
You know what? Unfortunately, we're going to have to go to a break. Okay. We're out of time. Look, Tony, you know, not only will we have you back, but you probably have gotten Albin's job. After this performance, Albin, I'm sorry, but I got to go. Aww. You know, it's about my audience. Gentlemen, thank you so much.